Trevor McPherson. Come on, Trev. Slow train a coming.
Actually, could someone just grab my coat there? My glasses. I didn't grab my glasses.
Do you want a table or anything like that?
Yeah, is there something? Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What a delight to come walking into the church and hear Brian West a song. Walking out of the way. Whoa!
I have been through it's actually been 4 years now. 3 years of having a open wound on the bottom of my heel. And pretty much everything that we tried to do in terms of getting healing, it worked and didn't work. And finally, Randy said, if we're going to keep on praying the same way, it's not working, so let's try something different. And so he got...
Hold that thing up to your mouth.
Oh, yeah. Here, let me just do my mic. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Too many pockets. What magnification do you use?
Readers or prescription?
Readers.
Try these.
Oh, there they are.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Anyway, Randy said to the church, all of you come up and stand around Trevor, raise your hands above him, and pray in tongues for 10 minutes. Which is a different way of doing it. And it worked. It broke it. And there are a couple of things.
Now the water. It's on the other side. No. There's a bottle on the other side.
Oh, there we are. And about a month ago, the Lord told me why it had gone on for 3 years. Because it was extremely frustrating. No, pretty much everything that could go wrong did go wrong, over and over and over again. And I kept on asking. And so after Randy did that and prayed, I decided to get with some prophetic friends and try to figure out what the heck is going on. Because Randy had a vision of George Folio, the Canadian boxer, and he had never been knocked out. And he said, that's the kind of demon.
Chabello.
Yeah, George Folio, sorry. And that's the kind of demon that's been behind keeping this from happening. And so what I'm going to share with you are all the different things that God kind of showed me and why the 3 years was worth it. Because when he told me, I thanked him. Like, I'd be willing to do it again and again. So, one of the things, okay, so why isn't the healing happening? And so I read through all of the different times with Jesus praying for healing. And what I noticed was he recognized when the power to heal was there. And then the lady who came up and said, she had had a hemorrhaging for 12 years, and if I could just touch his coat, I'll be healed. And she did, and he goes, hey, who did that? He immediately recognized the power of God going out. Okay? Now, it is power and the faith. And so when he asked the lady, he told her, and she goes, your faith has healed you. But the key was, he knew when the power was there. He wouldn't, a lot of times he wouldn't pray without it, but all of a sudden the power would be there, and he would pray for people, and people would recognize it, and they'd come running, and it says, when they saw the power, and I realized, what does that feel like? Like, I assume that it's like when I am listening to a song from the Holy Spirit, you get the tingling, but I don't know. So I said, okay, God, we need to have a way that each of us can recognize the power. So that when it does, it would be terrible if it happened this morning and none of us recognized what was taking place. Do you know what I'm saying? And when we taught about deliverance, it worked because there was a spirit of revelation that was released in all of us as Christians. And so, although that not many of us wouldn't be prophets, we could all prophesy on that basic revelation that's been released. And so I said, well, Lord, when we pray for people, nothing happens. So how can we learn what we're doing right and what we aren't doing right? With prophecy, we could, because the person would say, yeah, that was from God. So, okay, God, you have to help us. What's some way that we can learn to recognize the power of God? And all of a sudden, he reminded me, I heard about down in Bethel Church, a bunch of the young people started sticking pennies to the wall. And so I looked it up. I remember reading it before, so I went and found it. And basically, it is levitation. And again, there is levitation in the church. Like, it's not only the, you know, false religions that have it. And it's just a small bit. So I went, well, let's try that. Like, and so I took a penny and put it against the wall, and it fell down. Put it against the wall, it fell down. And then I read it again. He says, when that happened, the person started doing more worshiping. So I started worshiping, and it stuck. That's cool. And then I put up a nickel and a loonie and a toonie, and it would stick for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, this is cool. Now, when I told my children, it blew them away. Like, that's the power of God. Like, I didn't know it. Like, they were freaked out by it. And it's kind of like when you first hear a revelation, we have the spirit of revelation, and the Holy Spirit activates it. It's like, you know, we do that when we do the hot seating prayer. People are going, wow, I didn't know that I could hear God. And so I realized that is a tangible way, because when I tried different ways. And when Elisha wanted to hear a word from God, for the people of Israel, he called the minstrel, because he and us have discovered that praise gives it easier to prophesy. It didn't work that way. I found that it was better when I just waited on God, be still and know that I'm God. And just kind of let it flow into it, that it worked. And so one of the things that happened when Randy got the church to pray for me, the next morning I heard the Lord told me to get the book, The Power to Heal by Francis McNutt. And I, sure. And here's a guy who's been doing healing since the 70s. And this book primarily was focused on all those years he had only seen a couple of times where someone comes up, like on the stage, and is healed of something transformative, like a limb growing or you know, getting, you know, rid of but he realized that we're doing it that way isn't working. So he started bringing in some people with very serious problems, and one was a person, a young girl, who was deformed all over in different places. And they would just, and the picture the Lord gave him was like radiation for a cancer patient. Only it's God's power. But not blast, but slowly. And each time, all of a sudden, one of her limbs would be healed. And so he has a whole bunch of stories. He said, but the one problem was, you have to make sure that power is flowing, or it's just a waste of time. And now with someone who had something obvious like a deformed limb, it was easy to tell because physically you could see it happen. But what about something deeper, like cancer or leukemia? Yeah, all different kinds of things. And so all of a sudden I realized, well, this is wave. When I can stick this penny up, it means there's power flowing. And so I just started praying for my foot, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day, just, and that really, I could actually feel at times something moving, warmth. And so, okay, Lord, like, okay, so how are we going to keep doing this? And so the prophetic friends, one who's down in Texas, now I'm going to talk about a sword, but it's like a sword of the spirit, like, I'm going to explain that, but it was an emerald sword that she had inherited from grandmother, and in the past it helped getting people healed, and stuck it like into my, like my heel, and all of a sudden it bounced off, and I felt something pull on me. I was like, what the heck was that? And the person goes, it's not working. And so we prayed, and what we saw was this chainmail straitjacket all around me. And I went, this is ridiculous. And so I tried to pull it off, and it was like one of those Chinese crackers. The harder I tried, the more it grabbed me. And up until that point, it was just sitting there loose. But when I tried to break it, or they tried to use a sword, it just tightened up. And all of a sudden, I realized that's put in there by this George Chevalier, demon. Yeah. And every time I would go away on a trip, when I would, okay, let me just say, Jesus told us, you have got to solve this problem with the straitjacket. You have to, okay? So we would pray for a bit. I'd kind of forget about it. I'd go away on a trip, and every time I came back, something would go wrong with my foot. And one time it totally opened up. The wound totally opened up, and it's like, okay, God, why? Because you have to get this done. Okay. You keep forgetting. You do it for a couple of days or a week, and you forget. Okay. So I would start again, same thing. Go away on a trip, come back. It would be a different thing every single time. And, like, again, this went on for 3 years. And it's like, okay. And every single time I'd ask, you know, it wouldn't be really serious every time. Sometimes it would be. And so I'm going, okay, we've got to figure this out. So what we heard is, you need to have, there's a puzzle that needs to be solved to turn off the force field. There's a force field around this thing. There was a lock, but you can't get out of the lock until you turn off the force field. Okay? And you need, there needs to be a declaration that will set you free. And you do need to use a sword to open the lock and kill the demon. And so, and it's going to be a different puzzle every time for each person. And it's like, what are you talking about? And I spent sometimes just like a long time just, what? what are you trying to tell us? And so again, this went on for a while. And all of a sudden, one day, because we do a lot of deliverance, and they can only be there if you give them grounds. So I'm going, yeah, if this is here, I didn't put it here, so he put it here, and he had grounds to do it. So what were the grounds? And right away, the Lord reminded me. When I had the wound, I went in to see my doctor, and I thought it was bone spurs on both of my feet. And so he checked this foot, no bone spur. Don't worry about it. I'll send you to one of the physiologists, or they have an ultrasound now to break up a bone spur. He didn't check this foot. That's where the wound was. So it had an extra month to grow and get worse. And I was angry and frustrated that he hadn't done that. And he was somewhat embarrassed. So I meant I had to go and get some offloading shoes. So I went to a place that did it. And it should only take a day or two. But because it was a long weekend in September, and the person forgot to do it, it took 9 days before I got the boots. Again, anger and frustration that I didn't have to go through another 9 days of it because I didn't know how serious that was. They made it a lot worse. And I'm not going to tell you every single time, but this happened over and over and over. And there was anger and frustration. And it was them. Sometimes it was their fault. Sometimes we finally found something that was working, but the person who was doing it was going away for a month, and none of the other nurses in Vancouver are allowed to do it except for her. And so even though we found it, and that so got worse again, this went on and on and on until last summer I was going to Rio to do a training session there with a bunch of people, and I'd finally found some orthotics that worked. And so I went in and got them all fitted, and the person decided that really isn't the way it should be, so she opened it up and made a really big circle. Basically what it is a circle that has a hole in the middle of it with foam, and that's where the wound would sit, so you weren't getting it hurt. She changed it. And so I was like, oh, man, like I'm going in a week now because it took a week to get it done. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So I'll make up another set. We'll get it done just before you go. So she did it. She came in, brought a brand new thing. Now show me where it needs to be. And instead of doing the circle like this, she did it like this, which meant there was no offloading at all. And it was like, we went over this. And I specifically told you not to do that. Again, man, I got really angry and really frustrated. And then I saw it. I'd been giving him grounds for 3 years.
Through the anger?
Through the anger and the frustration.
Wow.
That was a puzzle that needs to be solved.
Wow.
And everyone's going to have a different one. For someone who gets cancer, it may be, I don't know, like, why do I have to die, or all sorts of different things. And so, just to share, I've got some other points to share in terms of how we did it, but, so, about a month ago, he told me, this is why this is so important. I'm about to release the largest healing revolution, that has ever happened. There's all sorts of prophetic words like that. But there are hundreds of thousands of people who, because of them giving the enemy grounds, have this straitjacket on it. And like most of you, I don't know, a lot of you have been here while we've been doing this, but there have been, because we have this ministry called the Underground Railroad, there have been literally hundreds of people praying for me for 3 years. To get this thing healed. And and finally Randy goes, okay, this is absolutely ridiculous. This shouldn't be happening. And so when he did that, he broke it. But Think of all those people when all of a sudden all their friends are getting healed of cancer and leukemia and all this, and nothing's happening to them. And the Lord said, that's why I've kept telling you, keep doing this. You have to break this. Because now this way people can get rid of that thing. Okay? Here, let me just have... Well, put my glasses on. I should at least look at the paper. Make sure I haven't missed anything. Any questions? No. Okay.
There is one.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about what you're saying too before the
cannabis. Yeah.
I just learned prior to this that when a person is about to receive deliverance from a demon that's causing cancer, I don't know which types of cancers, but I just remember them saying cancer, and that if that person was delivered before, they have forgiven people that they're holding unforgiveness towards, that deliverance could actually kill them. So they have to forgive whoever they're holding unforgiveness towards. They have to forgive that person or those people before they get delivered so that they can live through that deliverance. So I've heard of Matthew Morton and some other deliverance people that they're like, this has to be done before the deliverance goes through so that you can continue living, and this isn't... So it's just cool that he's kind of like brushing on that today as well. So it's kind of neat, yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
Is that a question back there?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you deal with that when you're learning about healing?
You just, I'm not sure if this is true or not. Can I just tell you something that I got, I think, from the Lord, and you can tell me if it's right.
Yeah.
And that way you're not, like, telling them it has to be that.
Yeah.
You're just sharing your observation.
Yeah.
Right.
So how do you share the observation?
Just like you said.
Yeah. Just straightforward. And they'll tell you or they won't. I remember hearing a counselor, one of the really good ones, he said, on my first visit, I know what the problem is. But it's going to take a year of therapy until they're willing to see it. Okay? So you could tell them and they're going, no, that's not what's going on. So a lot of times with that kind of stuff, we can know, but it's not until they're really willing to see it that something will take place.